You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, still fully vaccinated, still dodging variants like Neo in The Matrix. We are in a brand new studio for those of you who are watching the video show, which you can find, of course, on the NFL app, on the NFL Fantasy app, and streaming on YouTube. We got our brand new digs on the other side of the glass, pushing a whole bunch of buttons and knobs and dials and probably ready to blow up Alderaan like it was the Death Star. We got a whole cast of dozens in there. And, of course, right here to my left, it's Michael F. Florio. We are in person. It's wild.
It's weird. You are not a screen, like a small box on my computer screen. I can actually see you. We got to talk before the show. It's surreal right now.
It is absolutely wild that we are here in our brand new, beautiful podcast studio dedicated in honor of the late, great Chris Wessling here at NFL LA. So we're looking forward to this. Should be a whole lot of fun. Of course, we're going to have all the same great fantasy content for you. We will have our big questions for week three. We'll have some sleeper picks for you, and we are going to break down every single game on the week three schedule. Well, minus the Monday night game. We'll get to that next week on the show. But let's get started first with some of our fantasy headlines and a couple things that came down this morning. The first one, Tua Tagovailoa has fractured ribs. At first, they were saying it was going to be a situation of pain management, whether or not he can play, but he has been ruled out for week three. That means Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter for the Dolphins. Nobody's starting Jacoby Brissett. Let's just get that part out of the way. But are you comfortable starting any of the wide receivers in Miami now?
Not really, no. Not unless I'm desperate. I mean, Jacoby Brissett came in last week early in that game, and he threw 40 times, Marcus. Didn't even get 170 passing yards. Didn't score any points. It's a It's been rough. It was a rough day for Jacoby Brissett. I will say, if I'm starting anyone, I think it's Devontae Parker because he did throw 9 times to Parker. But now Will Fuller's back too, so that only makes things a little murkier there.
Yeah, I do think there may be an uptick in targets for some of the backs. Maybe Miles Gaskin, maybe Mike Gesicki. Just historically, Brissett has targeted his running backs and tight ends, but I'm not really excited. I will I have a sleeper pick for this game that may play into what's happening with the Dolphins starting quarterbacks. Big news out of Chicago on Wednesday morning, and really it's the moment we've all been waiting for. Matt Nagy says that Justin Fields will be the starter for the Chicago Bears when they travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns this week. And it is a simple question. If you have Justin Fields, are you starting Justin Fields?
This week for me, it would depend on the options. Like I do have him ranked below some other streaming options I like Teddy Bridgewater, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, but I'm really excited for Justin Fields. So it is a good matchup as well. He struggled a little bit in week 2, but if you don't have any of those other streaming options, or if you've been rostering Fields as like your backup quarterback and you don't love who your QB's one matchup is, I think you could get him in play. And Marcus, he gets the Browns this week, then the Lions, then the Raiders, all 3 teams that are in the top 10 in quarterback fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks since last season. I think Justin Fields could get this opportunity, run away with it, and we may never see Andy Dalton again.
I mean, that was sort of my question. Like, is this the last we have seen of Andy Dalton as the starter? You know, obviously pending, you know, avoiding injury or that sort of thing. I had thought coming in that week 4 was going to be the week Justin Fields took over. I figured they would get past the Rams, they'd get past the Browns, and then there's that run in the middle of the season. It's a pretty soft part of the schedule, and I thought that's when we'd see Justin Fields. It happens a week ahead of time. I know there's going to be a lot of questions of, will you start this guy over that guy? I've already gotten the, hey, would you start Matthew Stafford over Justin Fields? Would you start Matthew Stafford?
I would. With the way that Stafford's been playing, especially with their running backs banged up, I expect more passing out of him. And I think this could just be a high-scoring game between the Bucs and Rams, actually, because good defenses, but really good offenses as well.
All right. Well, we will certainly be looking forward to it. I'm sure Bears fans the world over are celebrating. We should check in with Adam Rank, make sure his heart is still beating. At this point on Wednesday morning. Elsewhere in the state of Florida, Antonio Brown has been placed on the COVID list. Now, he is vaccinated, so there is a chance he could still come back if he can get a couple of negative tests in the next few days. But if he does not play this week in a big, big game against the Rams, who do you think benefits the most in that passing game?
I'm thinking it's Godwin and Gronk again. Like, those are the two guys that haven't had a down week. We've seen AB and Mike Evans already have a down week here, but those two guys being the targets across the middle for Tom Brady, especially Gronk in the red zone, I think it only helps. Is it weird that I'm actually a little bit more worried about Mike Evans now? I know I'm the low guy on Mike Evans, but with no AB on the outside now, it's a little bit more feasible that Jalen Ramsey could just follow Mike Evans around the field. And that scares me, because we saw in week 1, when Trayvon Diggs was on Evans, Brady was like, all right, I'm just going to go to the other guys.
That's the thing, is that, you know, because there are so many options there, if one guy's getting locked down, it's not like you're, you know, if you're Tom Brady, you don't have to try to force the ball in there. So that potentially is bad news for Mike Evans. I know people keep saying that Gronk can't score 2 touchdowns every week, but if Antonio Brown's not there, I mean, he might score another 2 touchdowns in week 3.
Yeah, that was one of my bigger misses. And
you and me both.
I'm guessing Scotty Miller might get a little bit more run, but fantasy Twitter's, their darlings, Jalen Darden and Tyler Johnson, are both on this roster, so maybe they get their chance.
I love the fact that, like, once or twice a year, Tyler Johnson makes some, like, ridiculous catch, and then the Tyler Johnson hive just starts buzzing on Twitter. I'm like, all right, man. Like, he may be a very good receiver, but he's on a roster with really great receivers.
He's not getting any run anytime soon.
He's not going to get any run. On the other side of that game, there's Daryl Henderson, who is dealing with a rib injury of his own. Now, the Rams are remaining optimistic that he will be able to play this week against the Buccaneers. We saw last week Sony Michel came in and got some work late in that game after Henderson got hurt. But the bigger question is, against that Bucs front, would you start either of the Rams running backs this week?
See, I think I would be more inclined to start Sony Michel if Daryl Henderson sat, if that makes sense. Because if Henderson plays, then I am anticipating at least that Michel will have a role as well, because you're not going to throw out Henderson for 100% of the snaps, I don't envision, with this rib injury that he's playing through. So I'm thinking that if they both play, it's a really tough matchup. It's a murky situation there. I would get away from this backfield, but if Henderson sat, I would be a little bit more inclined to start Sony Michel then.
That makes sense to me. I mean, obviously, if they're both playing, then you're talking about, two guys splitting the workload against a good defense. Look, if you have to deal with a tough defense, I'd rather just have one guy get all the opportunity there. So that makes some sense to me. More running back issues. This one in Dallas. And I guess it's not an issue for the Cowboys. It's an issue for us. Jerry Jones says he sees this Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard running back committee as, quote, a great asset. That, I'm sure, works well for Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy because they've got some options to use. For us, we just want it to be one guy. If you drafted Zeke, right, you spent a first-round pick on him. And so far, he has been just okay. I mean, Tony Pollard has scored more fantasy points at this point in the season. How worried should you be if you've got Zeke?
I think you have to be pretty worried. And Marcus, this is one of those things that I'm kicking myself on very much so, because coming into the year, like back in like June and July, I was like, Tony Pollard is a good running back and Zeke is trending on the wrong side efficiency wise. Pollard is a threat to get Zeke's workload. And then the echo chamber that can be fantasy Twitter in the summer convinced me that no, this is Zeke's job. They're paying him all this money. They're going to continue to go to him. Tony Pollard has just looked good. I know I saw you joking the other day that he is their best runner.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a joke to say he's easily their most explosive running back. He's averaging more yards before and after contact than Zeke has this season. They're using him outside on outside runs as well, which is where he gets a lot of space and can show off that burst. Zeke has just kind of been a plotter that they're using up the middle, and Pollard is actually out targeting him in each game as well. So that was another thing we were hanging our hat on for Zeke. I think you have to be pretty worried about Zeke right now. I still think he's an RB1, but he's not a top five running back right now.
I felt like the Cowboys were trying to tell us this all offseason, which is why I was sort of, you know, pushing Zeke toward the back part of the first round in a lot of drafts. And I will say this, they've used Pollard even more than I anticipated they would. I do wonder, though, at some point, is it sort of law of diminishing returns, right? We've seen guys who come in and they have kind of a minimal workload and are effective and efficient, and then you start to give them more opportunity and maybe it doesn't work out. We'll see what happens with Tony Pollard. But if you've got Zeke, yeah, you got to be a little bit worried. You got to be a little bit concerned right now.
Am I crazy, Marcus, that in one league, I'm considering just starting both, like, Zeke is my RB1, Pollard is my RB2, and just kind of...
just, you know, just let it happen, right?
Yeah. Whatever. Either way, I'm going to...
You get all of the rushing efficiency until, you know, until Dak starts scoring rushing touchdowns. all right, last bit of news here. Davis Mills officially will get the start against the Carolina Panthers on Thursday Night Football. Of course, you can watch that game on NFL Network. Kickoff set for 8:20 Eastern time. Mills came in the game last week after Tyrod Taylor left with an injury. There aren't a whole lot of Texans we're excited about starting except Brandon Cooks, but are you still okay with starting him if it's Davis Mills under center?
Yeah, I am. Brandon Cooks is the only Houston Texans player I want to start in fantasy. Last week, he had 14 targets. Davis Mills threw 18 times, Marcus. Nine of those went Brandon Cooks' way. No one else on that team even had two targets. So he is just such a target hog there that I think the volume warrants using him as a wide receiver three. He has up more upside than that, but I can't rank him any higher right now with Davis Mills under center.
I mean, it falls under the category of somebody's got to catch the football. And I, you know, that doesn't always work out, but in this instance, it works out. Brandon Cooks, 21 targets. The next closest players are with six. So,
oh, wow.
There's a pretty big gap in there. Real quick, Deshaun Watson is still on rosters in about 17.5% of NFL.com leagues. He has been a healthy inactive. There has been no talk of even bringing him in. We can drop him now at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he's not active this week when Tyrod Taylor's out, when is he ever going to be?
Yeah, I think it's sort of... I mean, unless you're maybe in a dynasty league and you're hoping for something, I think in most redraft leagues, you can say goodbye to Deshaun Watson. Let's take a look at some of the big questions we've got for fantasy football managers heading into week three. The first one... Look, I made a TikTok about this because I got to keep up with the kids, so I'm on the TikTok now. Do we dare take a chance on a 49ers running back this week? It is a mess in Kyle Shanahan's backfield. So do you dare? And if so, who's the guy you take the chance on?
If Elijah Mitchell ends up suiting up, I think you could get him in your lineup. He's been giving you like over 15 touches per game. But if he's not there... I mean, you have to get away from everyone. I thought Trey Sermon would be a thing last week. He played one snap and got hurt on that one snap. Like, what are the chances? Trenton Cannon, Jamichael Hasty's hurt too right now. Like, just a lot of names of that aren't really appealing, Marcus. And then it's the 49ers. And we know Kyle Shanahan, he'll get his eighth string running back and make him fantasy viable.
They signed a guy named Jacques Patrick. all I know about Jacques Patrick, according to the Wikipedia, he went to Florida State. He went to Timber Creek High School. He's 24 years old from Orlando, Florida. And now he's a 49er running back. And if he gets in, chances are he'll get like 10 carries and run for like 70 yards. But nobody's going to know that. And nobody's going to have him on their roster. I'm staying away just because it just is so confusing. And it makes me sad because the Packer run defense so far doesn't look good. So
no.
the matchup is good. I just don't know who I can believe in this week. Couple of quarterbacks that went very early in drafts who have not gotten off to great starts. Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Of the two of them, whose start is more concerning for you?
For me, it is Josh Allen. And I was telling you in the break, I have a super flex team with both of these as my two quarterbacks, so it hasn't been fun. But at least with Herbert, you're getting the yards. He should have had more touchdowns too last week if not for those penalties. Josh Allen, it's been two games, and he's averaging less than 225 passing yards per game, less than 17 fantasy points per game. And this is the issue. You see it on screen, right? He's constantly having to run for his life. Like, he's under so much pressure. The passes haven't been like he hasn't been throwing the ball like he was last season, but so much of it is because he's just under pressure all the time and trying to make something out of nothing. So I'm more worried about Allen, and it's more so about the Bills' offensive line than anything else.
I look at Josh Allen, and I feel like I can sort of give him a pass just because the first 2 weeks they played the Steelers, they played the Dolphins, so yeah. They went up against a couple of good defenses. So that at least makes me feel like, okay, maybe things will get better. What worries me most about Justin Herbert, one, they've had some decent matchups. I really thought the game against the Cowboys was going to be more high scoring than it turned out to be. I think a lot of us did. The other part that worries me about Justin Herbert is that early on, he's been way more turnover prone than what we saw last year. He's already got three picks. He's lost a fumble. I mean, this is a guy who threw five interceptions all of last year once he took over as the starter. That number is alarmingly high through the first couple weeks of the season. Not to say he can't turn it around, but it's just not what I thought it was going to be so far this year. On the other side, of these two wide receivers, whose start is more sustainable? Mike Williams, who's had a couple of really big games to start the year, or Marquise Brown, who may be able to resume the name Hollywood. Last year, he was like sort of Van Nuys Brown. He was like North Hollywood Brown. He's been actually Hollywood the first couple of weeks. Which guy's more likely to keep it going?
I think it's Mike Williams. Mike Williams is averaging 11 targets per game right now. Like, that is big time volume. He actually leads the league too in end zone targets right now. So he's getting opportunities in the red zone and in the end zone, which is where you love to see your wide receivers getting targeted. The thing with Marquise Brown, I do believe that he could sustain it because I think he started to break out at the end of last season. From like week 12 on, he's been averaging over 17 fantasy points per game. But it comes down to the offense. The Chargers are just going to throw a whole lot more. Like, Marquise Brown is a 29% target share, Marcus, but on the Ravens this year, that's just 8 targets per game. On the Chargers, Mike Williams, 25%, is 11 targets per game. So I'll take the offense that's just throwing the ball more.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that, too. I'm going to double down on Mike Williams. The Ravens, regardless of them trying to tell us each and every year that they want to throw the football more, they are still a run-based offense. I mean, there's a reason that we are clamoring for Tyson Williams. It's a reason people are making the move begrudgingly for Latavius Murray off the waiver wire, because they're just going to run the football. Meanwhile, Justin Herbert's going to keep slinging it. So I think Mike Williams is the guy who finally is going to have that big breakout year. I think we've been waiting for it, and I think this is the year that it finally happens. All right. We're going to start diving into some games. We will break these up all throughout the show, but we're going to go through every single game on the schedule, minus the Monday night game, because we'll do that on Monday's show. But let's get started with the Thursday night football game, Panthers at Texans. Again, you can see that on NFL Network, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time is the kickoff. Give me one guy that you were paying attention to for this game.
Is there room on the Trojan bandwagon for me, Marcus?
Absolutely, sir.
Because I'm all in on Sam Darnold now. I'm very excited for what we've seen out of Sam Darnold so far. He faced the Jets and the Saints early on. The Jets, we expected him to take advantage of that matchup. He threw for nearly 280 yards and a touchdown, added one with his legs. And then this past week against the Saints, I was off of him. I was like, it was a good matchup week one. I don't want to trust him week two. And he played even better. He threw for 305 yards and 2 touchdowns. He has now scored around 19 fantasy points in each of those games. And this is a great matchup against the bad Houston Texans defense. I think that Sam Darnold is a streamable option this week, and I'm really excited to see if he could take advantage of these good matchups, because that's what quarterbacks that you want to stream are supposed to be able to do.
That has been really exciting. I mean, I think it's the combination of Joe Brady. It's the combination of having all those weapons around him. I mean, this is something he never had when he was in New York. So I've been very encouraged to see him play. There were a couple of drafts where I took him sort of late as a second quarterback, and I felt like I was being a homer. But now I feel like I know what I'm doing. Over to the Buccaneers and the Rams, a game that's going to take place literally across the street from where we are sitting right now, which to me, I think is going to be the marquee game of the weekend. I'm going to tell people to start Cooper Kupp. And I know that the first thought is, well, it's the Bucs defense and they're very good. If there is a weakness on this defense, it is in the secondary. They were sort of short on depth there. Now they've got an injury. Sean Murphy Bunting is injured. So I think there's going to be opportunity for the wide receivers for the Rams to get loose. And we have seen early on that there is definitely a bromance building between Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. I still want Matthew Stafford to introduce his work friends to his personal friends so that Kupp and Clayton Kershaw can be BFFs. But if you were worried about starting any of your Rams receivers against the Bucs this week, I think, you know, it's going to be a good defensive battle, but I don't think it's reason to be just terrified about it this week.
Yeah, and especially with Henderson banged up, we could get even more throwing out of the Rams. Cooper Kupp has a near 40% target share right now. I mean, you see it on the screen. Start him like a boss, Marcus.
Yeah, exactly. Man, I think he's going to be just fine this week. Another big game, this one in Kansas City, the Chargers and the Chiefs. I think a showdown in the AFC West. Who are you paying attention to there?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he is the big story out of this Chiefs offense right now. Like, Tyreek Hill had a bad week, too. We don't worry about Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce's awesome. Patrick Mahomes. But the fourth piece of this offense was supposed to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was going as a high-end RB2 in the second round of a lot of drafts, and it's been brutal to start the year. Like, last week, he wasn't even a top 50 running back. I think he had sub 3 points. So, I've been pretty worried about him. I have him in a league, the same league where I have Allen and Herbert. No surprise, it's the only league I'm 0-2 in. I'm starting him again this week, Marcus, but if he struggles again this week, I think you got to start thinking about getting him out of your starting lineup after that.
I think it's a bad sign that Byron Pringle has more fantasy points so far.
And a deal with Pringles now.
Yeah, man. I enjoy your chips. Good on you. All right, we will step away for a moment, come back, and we will continue with our game previews for week 3. Plenty still left to come on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or, like, put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad-spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50. And it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let's keep it going with our game previews heading into week three. Start with the Seahawks and Vikings, which should be, I think, an interesting matchup. I think there's going to be a lot of fantasy points scored by some of the stars here, and I'm specifically pointing toward DK Metcalf, because I know a lot of folks have been, I won't say worried, but at least mildly concerned about DK, because the first 2 weeks, it's been the Tyler Lockett show in Seattle. I'm telling you to stay patient. The big game is coming for DK Metcalf. I know we talked about Byron Pringle and his chip sponsorship. I believe there's a coffee. There's Decaf Metcalf, I think, is an actual thing now because of what he did last year. And then, you know, Seattle coffee is kind of a big deal. But I do think this big game is coming. I think it could happen this week against the Vikings. This Vikings defense isn't what it was a few years ago. And I think DK Metcalf is set to actually break out this week.
Yeah, I think both of the Seattle wide receivers are borderline wide receiver ones right now going forward. Tyler Lockett's looked amazing, but DK, we know what he can do, and it's just a matter of time before he gets going.
Yeah, just stay patient there. Bears at Browns, an interesting one in Cleveland, and you've got another wide receiver you're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, a lot of people are worried about Allen Robinson. I don't blame them. He's got 15 targets on the year, but less than 20 fantasy points, so that's never a good thing. But I think that this week is the week where he starts to get going. The Browns defense, I know they had some tough matchups like against the Chiefs in week one, but they have allowed points to wide receivers this year. And I think if Justin Fields starts, that could actually be a benefactor for Allen Robinson, because he's going to throw the deep ball more than Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is not throwing the ball deep down the field at all. And then two, the defense will have to worry more about him running, which I think keeps defenders closer to the line of scrimmage, which helps open stuff up downfield, which could lead to a couple more deep shots for Allen Robinson. So I'm thinking he bounce backs this week, but if not, then maybe you have to start to get a little worried.
I think, yeah, the Bears have been very conservative offensively early on. I think they start to open this up a little bit more, and Robinson should do okay because of that. The Washington football team travels to Buffalo to take on the Bills, and I will tell you, beware if you're starting Antonio Gibson. I don't think you can sit him, because chances are you don't have somebody that is the equivalent of Antonio Gibson. But through the first couple of weeks, the Bills defense has actually been pretty tough on fantasy running back. So that's one thing to be worried about. And then, of course, Florio, as you know, there is the specter of J.D. McKissic that is hanging around this offense. We saw last week in that game against the Giants, when the football team was driving, when they were in two-minute offense, it was J.D. McKissic that was out on the field, and he was getting those targets, which is sort of weird. I mean, I know he's a converted wide receiver, but so is Antonio Gibson, and I think Gibson's a better player. But until McKissic starts to go away, this is a worrisome week for me if you've got Gibson in your lineup.
Yeah, and not only with the two-minute drill going on to McKissic, but they called a timeout, and the goal line carry still went to J.D. McKissic. So that is really worrisome if you're Antonio Gibson, because last year, touchdowns were the one thing you were guaranteed with him.
And they kept saying they were going to work him into the passing game more, and I don't know that that's happened so far.
Week one, it was him. Week two, it was McKissic. I think it could just be like a guessing game all year.
That's not fun. I don't like that at all. The Saints and the Patriots, which, you know, a few years ago would have been like a whole week of Breeze versus Brady hype. I don't know that Jameis Winston versus Mac Jones has the same cachet to it. But if you are paying attention to this game, who's a guy that's on your mind right now?
Damian Harris. I know Damian Harris has been a reliable running back to start the year, but this is a really tough matchup, Marcus, against the Saints defense that dating back to last year has allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs. They're giving up just 75 rushing yards per game. And the issue with Harris is if the Patriots fall behind, it's not like he's going to be the one out there catching passes. We know that is James White's role. So he's facing a defense that could make life really difficult for him on the ground, and then he doesn't get the benefit of catching passes there to make up for it. So I have him more as a flex option, and I'd be trying to get away from him this week if possible.
I feel the same way. I'm very worried about Damian Harris. I feel like what happens to him is going to be contingent upon how well the defense plays. If they can slow down Jameis Winston and the Saints offense, then I think Harris ends up kind of getting a role. If not, then it turns into another James White game in New England. Dolphins at the Raiders. Mentioned at the top of the show, Tua Tagovailoa is out for this week as he has a fractured rib. Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter. I already felt like the Raiders had a chance to be a sleeper defense. I feel that way even more strongly now. Look, Brissett is not going to challenge you down the field. As you mentioned earlier in the show, he threw the ball 40 times. Completed 24 of them and had, what, like 160 yards or something like that. That's not great. But you know what? On top of it, Gus Bradley has this defense playing better. Once upon a time, we saw the Raiders. We're like, yeah, start all your guys against the Raiders defense. Look, they've already got a handful of sacks. I think they had, 20 sacks last year. They've got 5 sacks already. So they're getting after the quarterback. They're forcing turnovers. This is a better defense. And I think this is the week that they sort of flex their muscle and show people how good they can be.
Yeah, when I walked in today, producer Heitham was like, would you start any of the Dolphins now with Tua out? And I was like, I'm going to start the Raiders defense. That's all I care about from this offensive side of things.
I will throw an asterisk on this. Once upon a time, a long time ago, on NFL Fantasy Live, I had the Raiders as a sleeper defense because I thought Nick Foles couldn't throw 7 touchdown passes 2 weeks in a row. Silly me. Nick Foles threw 7 touchdown passes 2 weeks in a row. I don't think it's going to be this bad this week, though. I'm standing by that. Colts at Titans, which I think is a very interesting battle in the division here. You're looking at a wide receiver there in Indianapolis, huh?
Yeah, I asked you earlier if there's more room on the Trojans bandwagon.
Yeah, man, folks have jumped off since the Clay Helton firing. We need more people. Come on.
Let's go. Michael Pittman Jr. I mean, I expected big things out of him in week one. It didn't happen. And then I benched him everywhere in week two because he was facing Jalen Ramsey and the Rams defense. And he went off 12 targets, 8 catches, 123 yards. Now gets a much better matchup against the Titans. The Titans have been getting thrown all over this year, Marcus. And I know a good friend of yours and friend of the show, Matt Harmon, I respect his opinion when it comes to receivers more than anyone. He put out that Michael Pittman looked like a true wide receiver one last week and what he was doing and how he was winning those tough defensive matchups. So I was excited for Pittman coming into the year. I'm even more excited about him after last week, and I would be definitely starting him if I have him on my roster.
Any concerns if it ends up being Jacob Eason who gets the start this week?
A little bit, but I still think Pittman will be the top target. It's not as appealing if it's Wentz, but I think he'll still see enough volume that you could trust him as a wide receiver 3 or a flex option.
All right. You're getting some of our starts and sits right here, but if you want more of that, be sure to check out the Stardom Sit'em show on Thursdays. It's Michael F. Florio here with Kimmy Checks and Adam Rank as they go through all their starts and sits for every game on the schedule during the week. You can catch it live at 4 p.m. Eastern in the NFL Fantasy app, the NFL app, NFL.com, and on our YouTube channel. It's also available on demand if you don't get to catch it live. Because I know, look, some people have lives and jobs and families and all that kind of stuff. So we're here for you whenever you're ready for the show. We'll take a pause on the game previews for a bit, but a couple of guys that I think are worth getting in depth on. Let's start with Las Vegas Raiders star tight end Darren Waller. Darren the Baller Waller, the Wallerus, however you want to describe him, but either way, he has been balling out the first couple weeks of the season. But in week two, saw a little bit more of Henry Ruggs and a little bit more of Bryan Edwards. Is this going to be a trend going forward? Are we going to start to see more of the other guys getting involved in the Raider offense, and is that going to impact Waller a lot?
We might see them get a little bit more involved. I don't think it'll have any impact on Darren Waller. I think Darren Waller is the unquestioned top target for Derek Carr and the Raiders. He had 19 targets in week one, only 7 in week two, but it still was tied for a team lead. That was Henry Ruggs. He had 7. That was his first career game with more than 5. And Bryan Edwards only had three there. So they were spreading the ball out a lot more. I think that gives more credit to the Steelers' defense than anything. But I think on most weeks, you could expect double-digit targets out of Darren Waller. He who has a new rap album out as well right now, Marcus.
Does he?
Yeah.
Honestly, not that this might have to be a segment on the show where we review Darren Waller's rap album. You know, we still got to get the Darren Waller Cole Beasley collab going at some point. We got to make that thing happen. I do think, by the way, Darren Waller will somehow kind of fall between his, you know, 19 target week one, his what, 7 target week two. I think reality is somewhere in the middle. I don't think he's going to really worry too much about Ruggs and Edwards closing the gap. But it is good to see those guys getting involved because I think both of them have some potential. All right, next one up. It is Calvin Ridley. He who has a brother named Kevin Ridley. You know him as Riley, the brother. Not this guy. This one is the Atlanta Falcons wide receiver who through 2 games is the wide receiver 30, which is certainly not where anybody drafted him. Should we be concerned right now?
Maybe a little bit. I think if you drafted him, obviously you did as a top 5 wide receiver. I think maybe then you're a little concerned about him, but I still think he is a wide receiver 1. I'm not too worried yet. He did have a team high 10 targets in week 2, caught 7 of them for 63 yards and a tutty. It was week 1 that he really struggled in, but I think what he did week 2 against a tough Bucs defense has to have you feeling pretty good at least about Calvin Ridley. My bigger concern is the arm strength of Matt Ryan. We've heard that that's been declining a little bit, and that is where Calvin Ridley does so much of his damage as the deep threat. But with Kyle Pitts playing better in week 2, Marcus, I think that just takes away a little defensive attention from Ridley. I'm not too panicked yet. I'm still starting him everywhere I have him.
I do think the thing that is sort of reassuring is that, for the most part, it's a two-man passing game. It's Ridley, it's Kyle Pitts. I know, you know, Mike Davis has gotten some targets. Cordarrelle Patterson has gotten some targets. But essentially, most of the offense is going to be funneled through those two pass catchers. So even though the production hasn't been there just yet, it's coming simply because the opportunity is coming. Also, the fact that the Falcons defense is bad. So the offense is going to have to keep throwing the football to stay in football games this year. That's going to be the thing. All right, back to our game previews as we continue along here. One in Detroit, the Ravens and the Lions. And we talked about the Ravens and Marquise Brown and their passing game, but it's still a run-first team, this Ravens offense.
Yeah, it definitely is, which is why I think people should be starting Tyson Williams this week. They're facing the Lions, which we just saw Aaron Jones torch them on Monday Night Football. Going back to the start of 2020, though, they've allowed the most fantasy points to running backs. They've allowed 35 scrimmage touchdowns to the position in that span, Marcus. The next closest is 25. So they have 10 more touchdowns than any other team. They're giving up over 162 scrimmage yards per game to running backs. And it is a little frustrating to watch Tyson Williams get them down the field, and then Latavius Murray comes in for the goal line work. He had an opportunity to score, did fumble it. That was concerning, but he's clearly the most explosive running back they have there. He's been leading them in touches. So I think this is a good week to get him into your starting lineup.
Definitely think he should be in your lineup, but it's also the reason I have Latavius Murray as a sleeper this week, just because Greg Roman has said repeatedly they want to use multiple guys. Latavius Murray is the guy who's been getting a lot of those opportunities. So I think he should probably be in lineups if you're in deeper leagues and you need a flex option. All this means is that Devontae Freeman's going to end up having a big game because we've said all of this stuff. Right now, Jets at the Broncos, and you know, we are part of the Javonte Williams hive here, have been pretty much all
very
season
much
long.
So.
And this is another week that I think you can get Javonte Williams in your lineup. We saw him start to have a pretty big game last week. I think it happens again this week. I do think Melvin Gordon's going to be fine too. If you've got Melvin Gordon, I think you can play him, but I still think Javonte is the better all-around back, the more explosive back. He's the guy who's going to catch the football effectively. And I think that's a part where the Jets defense has been victimized early in the season, pass catching running backs. So I look for Javonte Williams just sort of keep it rolling, and it's one step closer to him eventually just taking over this number one job there.
Yeah, it's a good matchup, like you said. And then him and Melvin Gordon have been splitting snaps and work, but he was the much more efficient runner this past week. Besides that one long TD run in week 1, Melvin Gordon hasn't looked great. So I think Javonte, as the year goes on, could continue to just space himself further and further away from Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I said that when you draft him, just be patient because it's coming at some point. Cardinals at Jaguars. The Cardinals have been a pleasant surprise the first 2 weeks. The Jaguars have been an abject disappointment in the first 2 weeks. So let's stay on the positive side of things. Who are we talking about here?
I think Rondell Moore is a sleeper. He was a big name to grab off the waiver wire this week. And while I don't have him as someone like that I'm guaranteed to get into my starting lineup, if I have him, I am at least considering it, looking at the other options. Last week, you pick a receiving set, he led the Cardinals in it. Targets, catches, yards, touchdowns. His snaps also increased from week one to week two. While he still is their fourth wide receiver right now, at least in usage, I mean, we saw what he did last week. He's explosive. It wouldn't surprise me if, as the year goes on, even maybe starting as soon as week three, if his workload continues to increase, I'm thinking he could supplant AJ Green at some point too. Just he's the better option, I would say.
I would definitely think he's better than AJ Green. Are you playing him ahead of Christian Kirk right now?
I still have Christian Kirk higher because Kirk is being used similar to him, but he's getting more targets and snaps. So I like them as the downfield options in a Kyler Murray offense, but I would use both of them over A.J. Green, but Kirk over Moore.
J.J. Zacharyson, who is a very smart man, pointed out that they are manufacturing touches for Rondale Moore, which gives you hope. Obviously, you're not going to get a big 77-yard touchdown on a blown coverage every single week, but the fact that they're getting him in means that you have some hope to maybe get him in your lineup if you need a flex option right there. Another break. We'll come back, and we will wrap up the show with some more game previews, plus our sleepers heading into Week 3. Stay tuned for the end. At least the end of the show on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days, like literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Last few games on the Sunday slate as we get near the end of the show. Bengals at Steelers. The Bengals off to kind of a meh start. The Steelers offense not looking particularly spectacular, but their defense is good, which is why I'm saying you should beware of starting Joe Mixon this week? I mean, he has sort of been the epitome of up and down over the first couple weeks of the season. I like the opportunity. I like the volume. The production hasn't always been there. And for all the frustration that has been the Steelers offense, Steelers defense is still pretty good. So I look, again, Mixon's probably one of those guys that you drafted high. You may not have better options on your roster. But if you do, maybe you think about him this week, because I just don't like the matchup here.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. I like Mixon because of the workload he's been getting, but the Steelers have just been shutting down really everyone they face. So you definitely got to take a little caution if you have any Bengals in this one.
Totally. Falcons at the Giants, a couple of 0-2 teams looking for their first win of the season. But there's a guy that we really love this week, believe it or not.
Oh, man, I feel a little dirty saying it, but I'm all about starting Daniel Jones this week. I put it on Twitter, Marcus. Is it wrong to have him ranked as a top five quarterback? I chickened out and moved him to number six. So I'm very bullish on Daniel Jones this week. Last week, we saw what he did against a tough Washington defense, 250 passing yards and a touchdown. But really what makes him fantasy viable, 95 rushing yards and a touchdown. Should have been two rushing touchdowns and about another 25 yards tacked on there that he had taken away due to penalty. But great matchup against the team that has allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. It's the rushing, though, Marcus. 2 weeks in a row, he's led them in rushing yards. There's more design runs for him. Daniel Jones being a little bit more aggressive there. He reminds me a bit of what Josh Allen was before Josh Allen became like an MVP type of passer, which is a good fantasy asset because of what he can give you with his legs.
The other part is he's just not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
No interceptions, just one fumble loss through the first couple of games. That's always been the thing that's holding him back. I feel like this is the week that everybody is in on Daniel Jones, and you know that usually happens. You know what happens when the whole community gets behind a player. You know what usually ends up happens. But let's keep our fingers crossed that this goes well. Last one here. Sunday Night Football should be a good one. The Packers at the 49ers. Whenever Aaron Rodgers comes in to play the 49ers, he really takes all his aggressions out on him. Yeah, let's remember, he wanted to be drafted by the Niners. Joe Montana was his favorite player. He grew up in Northern California. They passed him by. In fact, they took Alex Smith number one.
I feel like things would have been a little different had they taken Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I still believe that Aaron Rodgers probably wouldn't be the player he is if the 49ers had drafted him.
Really?
I don't. I feel like, you know, as much as I would have wanted him to be there, things worked out okay for him in Green Bay. But I'm also saying that you should start George Kittle. And this is sort of a reminder to people that George Kittle is still great. There's a reason you drafted him as a top three tight end. And I know last week was not particularly good. He was okay in week one. Just get him back in your lineup because they're going to get him opportunities, especially if they're still trying to figure out their running game. Plus, the Packer defense has not been particularly spot on the first couple weeks of the season. So I feel like as they're figuring out their offense, I think this is a week that George Kittle ends up having a more signature George Kittle week. I mean, we've seen big weeks from Kelsey. We've seen big weeks from Waller. We just need George Kittle to kind of make it the big three at this point.
Yeah, I've been asked on Twitter, like, should I get away from George Kittle? And I'm like, for who? Like what tight end are you possibly, unless you have Kelsey or Waller still on your roster with him, like what tight end are you going to use? Tight end is just as much of a wasteland this year as it's been in the past.
I mean, look, I'm writing about Max Williams nowadays, right? That's where we are. It's only week three. Yeah, you're starting George Kittle. As we wrap up the show, we have our picks for sleepers you need to keep your eye on. And who's a guy who's maybe a little under the radar this week?
I think it's Jamison Crowder. And part of the reason I have him as a sleeper is he hasn't played yet this year, so I don't think he's on anyone's radar too much right now. But the reason I'm excited for him is it looks like he will return in week three. And we know the Jets just love getting their slot receivers involved. So far this year, Zach Wilson has thrown 30% of his passes to the slot. And it's been Braxton Berrios leading them in targets each week. He had 11 this past week. The week before that, he tied for the team lead with 7. I think all of that work goes to Jamison Crowder once he is back. So I think he is a sneaky option, especially in PPR leagues.
And I think after last week, if you're the Jets, you want to give Zach Wilson some like safe, easy targets after he just was completely rattled by the Patriots defense. I mean, people start talking about seeing ghosts again. That's how bad things were for Zach Wilson. My sleeper for week three is Jalen Reagor with the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, last year was not the season people wanted it to be in Philadelphia. He, unfortunately, will always sort of be tied to Justin Jefferson. And right now, that gap is pretty large. But He's number two on the team in targets. They're getting him involved. He very nearly had a very long touchdown catch against the 49ers. It was called back because he stepped out of bounds, first player to touch the ball. But the more important part is that they are trying to get him more involved. Devontae Smith is still the number one option in that passing game. But it looks like Jalen Reagor might end up being the number two guy. And if he can get more involved, I think that's going to be a good thing. Plus this week, look, you can still pick on the Cowboys defense. And if Devontae Smith ends up locked up on Trayvon Diggs, then there could be some options. I mean, maybe we shouldn't give up on Jalen Reagor yet is what I'm saying.
I agree with you, Marcus. He had five targets in week two, which doesn't sound like a lot, but only one player had more. Everyone else had, Kenny Gainwell had three. Everyone else had two. Like, he has been utilized more than Dallas Goedert. I think he is number two in the target pecking order here. And Hurts is not afraid to air out the ball, which plays to Rager's strength.
Love that, too. He's gonna take the ball downfield. He's going to take those shots. That's what we want out of our quarterbacks and our wide receivers. If you want more sleepers, and why wouldn't you? You can check out my column each and every week. NFL.com/sleepers comes out on Wednesday. Actually, if you're really astute, it comes out late on Tuesday. You can check it out then, too. But anyway, I give you a whole list of sleepers, even some random, mundane, esoteric, borderline emo things that are generally on my mind. If you want to read that, cool. If you want to scroll through the names, that's cool, too. We still got plenty, though, to come during the week. There's the Sunday Fantasy Game Day. That's like our big day, right? I mean, that's me, you, Kimmy. It's everybody, right?
Yeah, you get all of us. We'll maybe mix in some emo feelings. We'll talk sleepers for sure, though. But we take you all the way up until kickoff. It's the latest news, the top starts, who you should be sitting, sleepers, everything to get yourself your lineup ready for the upcoming games that day. And a lot of fun, too, Marcus.
Absolutely.
Everyone should definitely tune in. NFL app. NFL Fantasy app, YouTube, anywhere you watch us, it's there.
All kicks off at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so be sure to join us. In the meantime, for us, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, why is a show called Unsolved Mysteries? I mean, if they were solved, they wouldn't be mysteries anymore. Be safe, take care of yourselves, get vaccinated, and we will see you next week. Enjoy week three, everybody.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's #1 battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.